Church. Happy New Year. Pastor Nick here. And I'm excited that we are starting this new year off with a series that I think is going to bless not just you all, but me as well as I preach it and deliver it to you all. But we're going to start, we're going to kick this new year off right. And we're going to start a series called Small Wins Add Up. Small Wins Add Up. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray. I'll give you our foundational text for this series. And then I'll also share today's part one's message title for the series. So let's go ahead and jump in. We're going to be in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. So Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. And so if you can grab your word, turn there with us. I know you're at home or you may be listening to this message. Wherever you're at, just grab your word. It's so important for us to be digging into the word, especially as the new year begins here. So Zechariah chapter 4 is going to be our foundational text for today's message. So Zechariah chapter 4, and we'll jump in there in just a moment, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 14. And again, we'll jump in just a moment there. But throughout this series, my hope is that you will find the encouragement you need to get your life on track where it needs to be, right? Coming into this new year, we all make different resolutions. We all have goals that we aspire to attain in this new year. And throughout this series, this is more than just New Year's resolutions. It's about changing your life, but not trying to bite off more than you can chew. For instance, this new year will likely see a lot of new year, new me quotes or posts or comments on Instagram, right? All over social media. And while I think it's a great that we set out to change who we are, you know, coming into this new year or do things differently, maybe we do some things with our life we've been procrastinating about or becoming a whole new you. Overall, though, is a lot in just one year. Think about it, right? Like it took you however many years, however old you are, it took you that many years to become who you are today. A new year is not going to bring about a whole new you, right? If I could just be frank and just be honest, a new year is not going to bring about a whole new you all of a sudden. We're really just setting ourselves up for disappointment when we say things like that. Right? When those are the kind of goals we're setting for ourselves, we're really setting ourselves up for disappointment. However, here's my thought. If we take that same attitude and resolve to be a better version of ourselves, but we started with doing, let's say, three things differently this year to make progress toward that goal, it's more than likely that you're going to achieve the goals that you set out for you. Again, if you do three things, let's say three things really well, it's likely that you're probably going to achieve those three goals more so than setting this vague goal of new year, new me, right? This series, Small Wins Add Up, it's about taking those small steps to make that incremental improvement in your faith, in your life, all around to become a better version of yourself. Right. And so and we become this better versions of ourselves when we put the things of God first in our life. That's the goal. Right. I would hope that some of your resolutions, while it may be to lose weight or it may be to stop procrastinating or it may be to have that phone call with that person that you've been dreading to have that call with, the number one goal for all of us should be that in our life this year, that God is first, that we make the decision that if we haven't in years past, that this year in particular, because it's always good to begin, right? So in this year in particular, that we make the decision to put God first in our life. And so this is why Zechariah is kind of our teacher today, right? So let's take Zechariah, for instance. Zechariah was called to awaken the Jews who had returned to their homeland after years of captivity. After years of captivity, they were taken back to their homeland, and they had this task of reconstructing the temple. And so when they returned, they did start doing some of the work to rebuild things, such as the altar of the Lord. And they also started construction on the temple pretty quickly. However, what ends up happening to the Jews in that day which is the same thing that happens to us. For about 12 years, they made no progress on the temple. And the reason why is because they were discouraged and too preoccupied by other things that they had going on in their life. They were too preoccupied with other pursuits to put the Lord's work first. So they put his work on hold to deal with those things that they felt were more important in their life, right? And if we're honest, and I can be honest in my with myself and say that there are times where I will prioritize the wrong things. And we have a tendency to prioritize the wrong things, maybe the things that are top of mind for us in the moment, the concerns, the issues, the bills, the situations that might be weighing on us right now. Maybe we prioritize those things over the things of God. And it happens. But similar to what Zechariah was prophesying to the people, and what I hope this series does for us, is it helps us reset and ensure that we're prioritizing the right things, right? Throughout the book of Zechariah, he does encourage the people to return to the Lord and his purposes. And this includes restoring this ruined temple. But he also calls for them to repent for being lethargic in their ways as well. Remember, they didn't have the enthusiasm or energy to build the Lord's temple because they were worried about other things, right? So when we find ourselves in that same situation too, we get lethargic or we get complacent with where we're at, or the fact that we don't feel like we can move further past where we're currently at. But the reality is that we have to find ourselves in a space where we're repenting for our lethargicness, and we make the decision to get out of that funk and start doing the things of the Lord and putting God first. As Zechariah speaks the words of God to the people, God then ensures and he reminds the people of his love and his care for them, right? Through a series of visions, a total of 8 different visions in the book of Zechariah, God shows his love and his care for his people. So even though they were not putting the things of God first, even though they weren't building that temple and they weren't putting the work in, you know, they started and then they stopped, right? Even though they weren't putting in the work, God still had to remind them of his love and his care for them. And I think God does the same thing for us every single day. Every day that we have the grace of God to wake up in the morning, to move, to live, to have our being, it's a reminder from God of his love and his care for us. And so Zechariah speaks of that in this book as well. But in our message and in our foundational text, and what we'll read in just a moment here, Zechariah has one of those visions. Zechariah, again, there's 8 visions throughout the book. Zechariah has one of those visions where he's reminding the people of God of God's love and God's care, as well as making sure they understand what their purpose and what their goals should be. And so that's where we're going to pick up the story for today's message in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 through 14. And this is where Zechariah has his 5th vision that the Lord gives him. So let's pick this up. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 through 14. If you're following along, we're in this new series to start this year called Small Wins Add Up. And Zechariah is going to set the table for us. So I'm reading from the New Living Translation Bible. You can read from whatever translation makes the most sense for you. But here's what it says. Verse 1, it says, "Then the angel who had been talking with me returned and woke me as though I had been asleep. 'What do you see now?' he asked. I answered, 'I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl of oil on top of it. Around the bowl are 7 lamps, each having 7 spouts with wicks. And I see 2 olive trees, one on each side of the bowl.' Then I asked the angel, 'What are these, my Lord? What do they mean?' 'Don't you know?' the angel asked. 'No, my Lord,' I replied. Then he said to me, 'This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even mighty mountains, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, 'May God bless it. May God bless it.'" All right, let's keep reading. Let's go over to verse 8. Then another message came to me from the Lord. Zerubbabel is the one who laid the foundation of this temple, and he will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. I'm going to say that again because this is really setting the stage and setting the foundation for what this series is all about, for what I hope this first month of the new year is all about for you as well. Here's what it says. Verse 10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. The seven lamps represent the eyes of the Lord that search all around the world. Then I asked the angel, what are these two olive trees on each side of the lampstand? And what are the two olive branches that pour out golden oil through two gold tubes? Don't you know? He asked. No, my Lord, I replied. Then he said to me, they represent two anointed ones who stand in the court of the Lord of all the earth. I'm going to read verse 10 one more time. And as I read it this time around, and as you read it, I want this to resonate with you. And I hope it resonates with you. And I want it to encourage your soul. I want it to encourage that person on the inside of you that says, it's too hard. It's too challenging. I don't know how I can get up from here, from this place that I'm in, from this valley low, from this despair, from this trouble, from this issue, whatever situation you're facing that you've told yourself and that the enemy has tried to lie to you and say that it's impossible for you to overcome and it's impossible for you to take any steps of progress. I want this to resonate with you and I want this to encourage you. Verse 10 again, do not despise these small beginnings. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So here's the title of our message today, part one. The title of our message is this: let the work begin. Let the work begin. Let's pray and let's jump in all the way into this word. Lord, we thank you today for this series, God. We thank you for these are people who are tuning in to hear from you. Lord, I pray that I would deliver this message in the same way that you gave it to me, God, full of life, full of encouragement, full of conviction as well. But God, I pray that it challenges us to move past our limitations. Lord, I pray that as I deliver this word, we wouldn't just hear this word, but God, we would become doers of this word, applying this word to our day-to-day life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let the work begin. So this text is full of symbolism and references to other parts of scripture, but I believe Zechariah teaches us three main things we have to keep in mind as we step into this new year, especially as we think about making incremental improvement in our faith journey over this year. I think he teaches us three simple things that we have to encourage ourselves with this year and remind ourselves over and over as we start this work and we understand that small wins add up. The Lord rejoices in these small beginnings. So even though they might be baby steps, they add up over time and these small wins add up and they equal big results. So one of the first things I think Zechariah teaches us is this: if you want to turn your life around, start by turning to God. If you want to turn your life around, start by turning to God. Zechariah 1 verse 1 says this: return to me and I will return to you. So the book of Zechariah, again, is all about the people returning to their homeland after years of captivity. And the first verse of the book is, return to me and I will return to you. And all throughout scripture, when we see that people have turned their back on God, we see there's consequences for that. But we also see what happens and the rewards that follow and the blessings that follow when they make the decision to turn back to God. And the way that you can describe it, a real churchy word, is to repent. And so we have to live a life of repentance where when we've made any missteps or when we've turned our back on God, recognize that he's still faithful to us, even when we're faithless, And we have to repent. And repent is really just a churchy word for to turn to God. And here's a quote that comes to mind. The first step towards getting somewhere is to decide that you are not going to stay where you are. Let me say that again so it encourages you. The first step towards getting somewhere is to decide that you are not going to stay where you are. Sometimes the hardest part about working on ourselves is acknowledging the reality of where we are currently. We don't want to admit that we failed or that we messed up or that we took a wrong turn. But that is really the first step, is acknowledging where we really are currently. When we are honest about our current condition, it helps us to understand how far and in what direction we need to go to get where we want to be. Let me say that again. When we are honest about our current condition, it helps us understand how far and in what direction we need to go to get where we want to be. And so my challenge to you is that you don't become paralyzed thinking about how you got here. Don't allow yourself to get stuck, right? To get stuck in this feeling of, man, I got myself into this. I don't know how I'm going to get out. Don't allow yourself to be stuck in your current condition. Sure, take some time to reflect. I think reflection is really important. Take some time to reflect on the decisions that you've made, especially so you ensure that you don't make the same decisions. But don't spend all of your time in a rut. Take the time to reflect so you don't make those same mistakes. But don't get stuck in reflection mode. Start moving forward. Make some progress. Again, small wins add up. Take incremental steps to improve where you're at today. Zechariah challenges us throughout this text. He challenges us to focus on and really complete the task that God has given us. And so that's what I caution you with, that every moment that you are stopped or paused in a rut and not feeling like you can move forward is a moment that you are taking yourself out of doing the will of God. And so Zechariah is reminding us to complete the task that God has given us. And in order to do this, we have to first repent, right? If you want to turn your life around, start by turning to God. So we have to start by repenting for the times we neglected to do the work of the Lord, right? For the people of Israel, they needed to repent for not building the house of God. They needed to repent for becoming lethargic. For us, it may be that we haven't answered the call of God in our life up to this point in our life, however old we are, or that we haven't lived a life reflective of the grace we have in Jesus. Whatever it is, we have to be intentional about repenting for it now in order for God to work in us and for God to do what he desires to do, what he desired to do long ago. We have to repent to allow the work to begin. And repentance is not a matter of going to saying seven Hail Marys or whatever it is. Repentance is very simple. It is you doing business with God, where you are acknowledging your shortcomings, and you're saying, Lord, I recognize where I've messed up. I've recognized where I haven't done your will. God, I want to live for you. I want to make you Lord of my life. I want to submit myself to you. And make that decision. And it doesn't matter who's around. It is the business that you're doing with God that you're purposing in your heart to do. You know, it's interesting. Zechariah's name actually means Yahweh remembers. And that is helpful for me to read and to understand. And I hope it's helpful for you as well. And here's why I say that, because it is a reminder of God's faithfulness to his promises and to us. It's that reminder. It's almost like Zechariah is saying, I know you've turned the wrong way. I know you've paused the work that you needed to do. I know you've been lethargic, but God remembers. God remembers you. God remembers what he put on the inside of you. God remembers the promises that he spoke to you. God remembers. So even when you mess up, when you make the decision to repent and to turn to God, God remembers not the sins, not the things that you've done. He says in his word, I'll remember your sins no more, and which means I'm not going to use those things against you. Yeah, you may have messed up, but I'm not going to use those things against you. Yahweh remembers, meaning that I remember the things that I've purposed in you long ago. So even when you mess up, when you come back and you make that decision to follow me and to submit to me, I'm picking up right where I left off because I remember the promises that I made to you. And so that, I hope that's an encouragement for us. And, you know, he says in his word, return to me and I will return to you. And this is essentially what Romans 10:9 is basically saying in so many words. Romans 10:9 says this very simply. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That sounds a lot like if you want to turn your life around, start by turning to God. It sounds a lot like return to me and I will return to you. And that's what Zechariah is telling us. All right. So the next point that Zechariah gives us, that Zechariah is teaching us in Zechariah chapter 4 is this: trust in the Holy Spirit to help you do what you can't do for yourself. Let me say that again. Trust in the Holy Spirit to do for you what you can't do for yourself. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, and I'm going to read from the Message translation here. But Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says this. Then he said, this is God's message to Zerubbabel. You can't force things. They can only come about through my spirit, says God of the angel armies. So big mountain, who do you think you are? Next to Zerubbabel, you are nothing but a molehill. He'll proceed to set the cornerstone in place, accompanied by cheers. We gotta lean on the Holy Spirit. We gotta stop leaning on our own power, our own strength, our own intellect. And we gotta start leaning on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can only, he's the only one who can do the things that we can't do for ourselves. So we can't keep leaning on our own strength and our own power, or saying we'll do it when we feel like it, or depending on other people. Lean on the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Holy Spirit with all your might, with all your strength, to do the things that you can't do for yourself. You don't transform your life on your own. I feel the need to say that again to encourage somebody. You don't transform your life on your own. You might take the first step, and that's an important step because it demonstrates your faith in God that he can transform your life. So you're going to take the first step as a show of faith that I believe your word, I believe who you are. But let me help you understand it again. You do not transform your life on your own. God shows Zechariah that really rebuilding the rebuilding of the temple will not happen because of any other reason than the Holy Spirit. It's not by their might, it's not by their strength, but it's by the Holy Spirit alone. This is your cue. This is a cue for you. This is a cue for me to trust in the Holy Spirit, that while it may be difficult to do a 180 in your life, to rebuild your life, to rebuild his temple, because you desire to do his will, you will not be alone in this effort. Let me say that again. Because you desire to do his will, you've purposed in your heart to do his will, he will not leave you alone as you work to transform your life. Small things add up. Let the work begin. Start by taking a simple step. And one of those simple steps, the simplest step you can take, is trusting in the Holy Spirit. He moves mountains and causes walls to fall to make a way out of no way. Like, this is what his word says. He moves mountains and he causes a way out of no way. The word to Zerubbabel was that the Holy Spirit would remove every obstacle that stood against the completion of God's temple. That was the word to Zerubbabel. That's in his word, that he's going to remove every obstacle that stands in the way. So it's the same with accomplishing the will of God in your life. Whatever obstacles have been in your way of beginning the work to better your life, whatever those obstacles have been, whether it's friends, whether it's commitments you've made, whether it's poor decisions that just continue to cause anxiety and shame, anything that impedes your progress this year, believe that the Holy Spirit will remove those things to make a way for you. That's all you believe, that the Holy Spirit is going to remove those things to make a way for you. This is what trusting the Holy Spirit looks like. It looks like not looking at these mountains and allowing them to be bigger than your faith. It means that regardless of the obstacle, the size, the mass, whatever it is, God still can make a way out of no way. God does the seemingly impossible to show us throughout scripture, throughout our life, throughout other believers' life. He does the seemingly impossible to show what is possible with him. And so regardless of what you think of that thing, that obstacle, that thing that's impeding your progress, regardless of what you think about it, it's nothing compared to who God is. It's nothing compared to who the Holy Spirit is. Have you ever been given a word from God and thought, man, that seems impossible? Like, I can't do that. Who am I? I can't accomplish that. Maybe God asked you to reach out to a family member you haven't talked to in a while, or you haven't spoken to in many years, or he's calling you to reconcile, or to even apply for a job that you feel your resume doesn't even qualify you for. Maybe those are some of the things that you're facing. Have you, just think back to when God has ever given you a word that you felt, man, this is impossible. And can I tell you that is the right feeling for you to feel, especially when you think about what you can do? That's the right feeling for you to feel. When God gives you a vision, when God gives you something to do, it will always feel impossible when you think about it in light of your abilities. It will always seem impossible. But when you think about it in light of who God is, nothing is impossible. Nothing. While it may seem that way to you, it may seem impossible to us, it may seem impossible to onlookers, this is where God does his best work. In the impossible, to show us that with him, anything is possible. He does his best work in the impossible. So don't fret, don't worry when you face a situation that feels impossible. Trust in the Holy Spirit to do what you can't do for yourself. God loves to work in the impossible to show something very simple. I am possible. Let God do his work. I always say this to our church, and I say it to you to encourage you. I say it to myself when I feel like I need to encourage myself, but God is better at his job than we are at ours. So let him do it. The last thing Zechariah teaches us in chapter 4 is this. Don't be discouraged by the idea of starting over. Don't be discouraged by the idea of starting over. There are several of us who are walking into this new year and we're making a decision that, you know what, clean slate. I'm going to rebuild this thing. The temple has been destroyed. It's in ruins. I need to tear this thing down and build it all the way back up. Don't be discouraged by having to start over. Maybe you faced a divorce in last year and you're coming into this new year and you're thinking like, man, how am I going to rebuild this happy environment, this happy space? Maybe you have children who are walking through that season with you. How am I going to rebuild the space and this environment that's conducive for them to grow and be healthy and be God-fearing people? Don't be ashamed. Don't be discouraged about the idea of starting over. Maybe you walked out of a job or a commitment that wasn't serving the will of God in your life. Maybe you walked away from people because they weren't helping you grow. Don't be discouraged about the idea of starting over. It's okay. It's okay to start over, but you can't just stay in that space of ruins. You have to rebuild. And here's the encouragement. I know I've read this several times, but I think it's so good for us to remember, especially as we come into this new year. But I'll read it again. Zechariah 4, verse 10. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. So this is important for us. Do not despise these small beginnings. I know they feel insignificant. I know they feel very challenging. I know it feels like, man, what am I doing? Why am I even here? I had it all and now I have nothing. Do not despise these small beginnings. There's a quote that I'm going to read a couple of times because I had to read it a couple of times in order to understand exactly what it was saying. It was tripping me up. But here's a quote. It comes from Marcus Aurelius. And it says this. It says, begin. To begin is half the work. Let half still remain. Again, begin this, and thou wilt have finished. And so let me say that again. Begin. Let that first word be as impactful as you choose it to be. The reality, let the work begin. You have to begin somewhere. Begin. To begin is half the work. Let half still remain. Again, begin this other half, and thou wilt have finished. The first step is to begin. The first step is to get over the idea of having to start over. And I don't mean that in a harsh or insensitive way, but if you spend your time just in this lull of I got to begin, I got to start over, I got to rebuild. If you're lethargic like the people of Israel were when they returned to their homeland, if you're lethargic and you spend your time wasting time thinking about the fact that you have to start over, you're going to waste precious time. So again, I don't say it to be harsh or to be rude by any sense, but get over the fact that you have to start over. Don't allow it to discourage you. Begin. Beginning the work is half the work. Let half still remain. Again, begin this other half. Start by beginning. Tackle that first half. There's other work that will be needed to be done. And then begin that work too, and you'll finish. Get to that starting point of beginning. Here's something that I wrote down that I want to share, but it says this: seize the moment to begin serving the Lord right now. Seize the moment to begin serving the Lord right now. Every day you choose to live your life or you live for yourself is a day you are choosing to go against the will of God. Every day you make a decision that you're not going to begin the work, the reality is that you're choosing to not do the will of God. Making that decision to not move forward, to not begin the work, to not rebuild the temple, you are living a high risk life because you have no idea when the clock is going to run out. You have no idea when the trumpet is going to sound. You have no idea when the sky is going to be cracked open. You have no idea. So every moment that you are deliberately making a decision to not begin the work, you are playing with your life. High risk. And I'm not a gambler, so I wouldn't take the risk, but you are playing with your life. However, right now, in this moment, right here, tune me out if you have to. In this moment, this is the best opportunity you have to change your life. You don't know if you'll ever have this moment again. Right now is the best moment, the best opportunity you'll have to change your life. And while it seems overwhelming to put everything else you have going on, coming into this new year, all the thoughts, all the feelings, all the resolutions, while it may feel like an overwhelming task to put those things to the side, in order for you to pick up the things of God, it is absolutely imperative. Your life depends on it, that you seize this moment right now to make that decision to live for God. So whatever you've come into the new year planning to do, if it does not include God first, it's time to put those things to the wayside, begin the work. Don't be discouraged about having to start over. Wherever you're at is a good opportunity to start serving God again. Jack Hafer puts it this way. He says, do not resent the seemingly small beginnings. Give yourself wholeheartedly to the things that God is asking you to do and trust that he will bless them and cause them to prosper and grow. Remember, as you are faithful with little, God will entrust you with more. Remember that. When you are faithful in little, God will trust you with more. Being faithful in the small beginnings, being faithful in the small baby steps, being faithful in doing the seemingly small, insignificant things that will add up to big wins. God, if you are faithful with those small things, those early beginnings, those humble beginnings, God will bless you with more. Something else that I wrote down that I want to share is this, is that there's no such thing as a small work or starting over. There's no such thing as a small work or starting over. Little can be much if God is in it. So even though you might feel like you're having to start over, there's no such thing as starting over when God is in it. God is in the equation, and it's always an opportunity for God to do his best work and for you to begin the work. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, we also read this comment. And as we talk about the seemingly small things, this comment is kind of thrown in the middle of Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, and it feels insignificant. But here's what it says. It says, the seven lamps represent the eyes of the Lord that search all around the world. The seven, a number that's used symbolically to represent this idea of completeness. And in this scripture, they're identified as the eyes of the Lord. In fact, these eyes will rejoice, which suggests the delight of God over rebuilding the temple for the people, right? So as it's described, the seven lamps represent the eyes of the Lord that search all around the world. These seven eyes are waiting to rejoice in the work beginning. In other words, God is waiting to rejoice in the work to begin in your life. So whatever that looks like, whatever steps you need to take, whatever it is that you need to do, start the work. Begin. Small wins will add up. This new year, that should be your motto. Start small. Make incremental improvement. Let me tell you, if you try to bite off more than you can chew, you'll only be further discouraged. Take the small steps and start moving towards the thing of God. But the reality is that you got to put away these other things first. You got to repent. You got to allow God to be the Lord of your life. And when you return to God, he'll return to you. And so no matter how far off you've been, no matter how far away you've gone, no matter how deep you've strayed, there's a quote that always comes to mind when people tell me like, man, you don't know what I've done, or I've gone too far, God, I've gone too far, or God can't love me. One of the quotes that I always share is Corrie Ten Boom, who said, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. So it doesn't matter how deep in despair you've gone. It doesn't matter how deep in destruction you might have taken yourself. When you allow God to be Lord of your life, there is no pit so deep that you can't be recovered from. There is no sin. There is nothing that you've done currently that will change God's mind about you. God loves you. God cares for you. And when you repent and you turn to God, he is going to show that same love and that same care. He's going to accept you. He's going to give you eternal life when you make the decision to live for him. But it's only when you repent. It's only when you turn from your old ways and you turn to God that this can happen. So I hope that encourages you today. Again, this is part one of our series, Small Wins Add Up. And I'm looking forward to what God wants to do throughout this series. What I want to do right now is just pray a quick prayer with those who are sitting here listening to this message or watching this message, wherever you're at. If you found yourself throughout this message thinking like, man, I need to make a decision to return to God, I want to give you that opportunity right now before we close out the message. And it's a very simple thing that I want to do, but it's so significant, and it'll be the best thing that you do all day. I promise. No matter what you're going to do after this, this will be the best moment of your life. And what we're going to do in this moment is we're going to pray just a simple prayer of salvation. And all we're going to do is pray Romans 10:9. And I read that a little earlier. We're going to pray it right now. And the reality is that you can say these words all you want, but if you don't mean it in your heart, if you don't start to live like it, they won't matter. And so what I want us to do is I want you to bow your head. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to do business between you and God. It's not about me and you. It's not about you and the person sitting next to you. It's not about you and your parents or your family. It's about business between you and God. And that business looks like saying this prayer with your mouth, acknowledging God out loud, but also making sure that it's intentional in your heart, that whatever you're going to pray right now in this moment, that you believe it and you're going to start living like it. So let's pray this prayer out loud all together. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner in need of a savior. So today I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. With this profession of faith, today I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to remind you again, you've made the best decision in your life. I'm going to ask you to do three things, really simple things. One, I'm going to ask you to get into some community, find some people that can encourage your faith, but people that you can also encourage with your newfound faith. Two, I'm going to ask you to start picking up your word. Start picking up your word so you can see what God says about you and understand who God is through his word. And the last thing I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to start talking to God, start praying, speaking to God, developing a rhythm of communication with God. Every good and healthy relationship is built on solid communication. So start picking up his word and understanding what he says about you. That's how you live out this prayer that we just prayed. And trust me when I say, when you do those three simple things, God is going to change your life.